So the thing that we're very excited about that we've already talked about is the book that we have coming out later this year, the illustrated pop-up book by the great Jenny Maisels called Pop-Up Shakespeare, to which Reed and I have contributed the irreverent and mostly accurate text. The person most in charge of getting our making sure we're getting our facts right when we're not getting them wrong on purpose is Daisy Jellicoe, who is the editor here at Walker Books. And just being a book editor in London makes me think that you're the lead in a romantic comedy. Am I right?
Yes, you're so right. No, I wish I was. It's the dream.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 543, Editing Pop-Up Shakespeare. Tired of us talking about Pop-Up Shakespeare, the beautifully illustrated pop-up book by Jenny Maisels that Reed Martin and I wrote the text for that will be published in September and October 2017 by Walker Books and Candlewick Press? Then I have some bad news. After talking with artist Jenny Maisels herself 2 weeks ago in episode 541, and Reed and I talking last week about the writing of it, this week I talked to Daisy Jellicoe of Walker Books UK, the editor of Pop-Up Shakespeare, who started our conversation by explaining what she majored in or read in college.
English literature.
Well, of course. So it's the only thing you're qualified to do.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And children's publishing in particular is a dream because you get the marriage between image and text that right. You don't get in quite the same way in adult publishing. So, you know, if you're editing a book by Martin Amis, it's fantastic to be doing that. You know, that's incredible, but you don't get to be like, can you just make the moustache look a bit more like a moustache on Shakespeare?
Well, and thank goodness your experiences with children's books and children, so you knew exactly how to handle me and Reed.
Yes, exactly. You know, I was with the right sort of people. No, not at all. It's funny.
The combination of stick and carrot.
Yeah, stick and carrot all the way, but actually it's always really fun working on children's books because they're serious, but they're serious in a very fun way. And actually, you can't cheat in children's books. I think in adults' books, you can hide behind using long sentences or difficult words. But
right.
And actually, something naturally comes to you as the Reduced Shakespeare Company. You are used to boiling things down to their
right.
absolute essence. And in
right.
a way, that's very similar to editing a children's book, is that you have to come back to the very, very heart of the matter.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand that, and that doesn't come across clearly in the text, it just won't, you know, come across overall.
Well, and so, yeah, so it's actually... When Jenny first contacted us, this is perfect for us because it's a way for us to further reduce Shakespeare down into the form of a pop-up book.
Exactly, because how long was your first book?
Reduce Shakespeare, The Complete Guide for the Attention Impaired Abridged.
So how long was the...
Yeah, 160 pages or something
like that? And now you've got five spreads.
Yeah, five spreads. A surprising amount of text.
Yes, which is actually interesting because you think five spreads, oh, it's nothing. How on earth are you going to get 39 plays? Into five spreads.
Yeah.
But you can do it with dramatic pops, lift the flaps,
turn
the book around, find something on absolutely every surface of anything, and you can get the information in, but still, like, the challenge. And what I love is we've got this element in the book called long story shorts.
Yeah.
And they are an even more reduced version of the summary. And they are so funny because... you think, how can you do it in two or three words? And you do it. And
somehow we managed to do it. What was fun about this project, at least for us, and I don't know what it's like to most of the way you work, obviously when we're putting a show together, we're writing it and we're experimenting. We try things out and we go, that didn't work, or that works best, or we move this here, move that there. And come to find out, that was very, very similar to the process of writing the text for a pop-up book. It becomes a sort of a moving target until the target gets closer, closer, closer to publication date. And now you go, all right, well, it's got to be this, it's got to be that.
Is that right?
And you've absolutely, that is the essence of it. Because also what's difficult, not difficult, it's one of the beauties of it in many ways, but in a pop-up book, text and art are so linked to each other. And I remember saying to you quite early on in the process, it's kind of like a chicken and an egg situation. You can't have one without the other, but sometimes one's got to take the lead slightly. Mm-hmm. So in this case, once the overall structure of the book had been agreed and you had decided that you were going to break it down into one spread about the world of William Shakespeare and then a spread on the comedies, the histories, the romances, a little bit about the poetry on that page and the tragedies. That was great because that was a decision, that was a structure, and that meant the art could then begin and we could start thinking how visually we would represent all these different plays, like what's a key moment in a play, what's an iconic moment, what will a reader engage with visually, and what also do people know from a play? Because that's another big question. Like sometimes the most famous moments aren't the ones that you visually recognise. But then there had to be a point where the art could happen and we could see just how much space we had available for the text. And you guys were absolutely fantastic because you're like, that's fine, the worst comes the worst, all we're going to have to do is reduce, and we know how to do that.
We'll keep reducing. And you guys are the experts. You guys, Walker Books and Jenny, are the experts on how this is done. So we're just, you know, we'll throw up our little stuff and it can get squeezed in where it gets squeezed in. One of the fun things for me is visually distributing the plays around the various spreads is that it has meant that some plays that I wouldn't expect get a little bit more focused than they might normally would. For instance, the Henry VI plays, which are important plays, but they're not great plays. They're just important as part of the War of the Roses, or Two Gentlemen of Verona, which is, you know, which it was suddenly visually has an impact in the book, and you go, there's more to that play than I think I've given it credit.
And maybe that's also the joy of doing an illustrated complete works. Because I imagine if you have one of the big adult editions that are the size of a dictionary with all the footnotes, everything, oh, I just want to get to the play that I know, like, take me to Romeo and Juliet, take me to the dream.
Right.
You'd never stop and pause on Timon of Athens or, you know, the Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah.
But because in the way that we've laid them out and you have this visual hook, I think it encourages you to engage with ones that you might not otherwise be interested in. And one of the beautiful, beautiful ways about how Jenny designs and creates her book is that there's no unused space. And the book is designed to be not just read, but you turn it round, you interact with all the elements, you lift the flaps, you know, you look underneath, and there's always more to discover. And I think that gives you a role as a reader in engaging with the book, and you kind of feel really excited when you turn it round and there's, you know, Merchant of Venice or As You Like It. It's like, oh, a whole new world.
Right,
like,
there's Richard III.
Yeah,
he's on the back.
They didn't forget him. Don't worry.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, they talk about interactive media is the big thing. Well, theater is pretty interactive medium, and so are pop-up books. So it's kind of perfect.
Exactly, and they both have their magic, I think, for children in a way that you can't underestimate. And like one of the questions that we constantly get asked as children's publishers or editors is, oh, but what about the iPad? What about, you know, ebooks and digital? Like, how is that going to impact on you? Are you going to have a job in 5 years' time? And to that I say, yeah, absolutely. Because in the same way as there is with theatre, when you take a child to the theatre or to see a show and they just believe what is happening in front of their eye, there's no suspension of disbelief because there is no disbelief to suspend. It's just happening. You know, Peter Pan is flying. It doesn't matter if he's on a wire or not. That's happening. I think there's something of that in a pop-up book in the sense that it's this world opening up before you on the page and you've got this thing to explore that you won't necessarily get in the same way with a book on a screen or just a regular printed book. But
It's the difference between seeing live actors on stage or seeing actors on a screen.
Yeah.
It loses some of its immediacy. Or in the case of a pop-up book, gains some immediacy. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, we've tried to make all the different spreads in the engineering as interactive as possible. On the history spread, when you go to Richard II, there's a great flap where you have a crown on Richard's head and then you flip the flap and you see the crown move on the flap onto Henry Bolingbroke's head. And there you go.
I know. You have just...
abdication in a pop-up book.
You have just crowned Henry IV.
Yeah.
Bravo. Well done.
It's you.
It's you.
Hello, I'm Adrian Scarborough, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week, you can see us perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged in both the U.S. and the U.K. The RSC UK performs this week in Oxford, Stroud, Thornbury, and Milton Keynes, and then next week until the end of May in Stoke-on-Trent, Porthcawl, Worcester, York, Eastbourne, Woking, Derby, Folkestone, and Bromley. And in the U.S., we'll perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged this Thursday night in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and then for three nights at the end of May at the Virginia Arts Festival in Norfolk, Virginia. We also have some very exciting summer plans for 2017, as well as new dates in several countries for this fall, and we're returning to two of our favorite theaters next year in 2018. All of those dates we'll be able to share with you in the upcoming weeks. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Daisy Jellicoe of Walker Books UK, talking about the process of editing pop-up Shakespeare. People talk about the death of publishing, but I walk into Walker Books and it's a city. It's a little bit like being in a mini version of Disneyland. It goes on and on and on. There you go up three stairs and down five stairs, and there's people all over working on projects. I mean, it's not. I always think of that when I'm emailing you. We're going back and forth via email. I'm going, why hasn't Daisy gotten back to me? Oh, because she's probably editing 13 dozen other books at the same time. Are you involved in a lot of projects all at the same time?
Yeah, this part of the role is very much being able to keep things going at different stages in the proceedings. So with Pop-Up Shakespeare, we're very nearly at the end of it. We're at the sort of proofreading, copy editing stage right now, which is really exciting because it's there and it's before me. But I've got another project, for example, where I'm at the very, very earliest stages where the artist hasn't even sent me an outline of the book. She said, this is a couple of images that are ideas for how I want it to look.
Okay.
So I engage my brain all over again right at the beginning of that part of the process and think, okay, well, how do we turn these beautiful, beautiful drawings into the idea for an actual book with a structure, with an outline? And I think sometimes, I don't know, I say to people, I'm a children's book editor. And the first thing they say, oh, do you write the books? I thought, oh, no, I wish I did. Now we're going to have to disappoint you. No, I don't write.
It's the one thing you don't have to do.
Yeah. I don't write them. I kind of wish I did, but I don't. But, you know, I edit them and say, oh, so, you know, you put the full stops in and correct the commas. And then you think, well, I do that, but there's also quite a lot of other parts of the process.
Can you explain in a reduced way what are some of the other parts of the process?
Okay.
Part of it is I'm thinking, you talk about the book, you know, our book is very near publication and this other book is in its embryonic stage. You're sort of a midwife. You're delivering babies at one end and you're figuring out how to cultivate and these books from the beginning.
Yeah, definitely. And also, very much as I said earlier, like, children's publishing is bringing together the artist with the author and the editor and the designer work in that kind of space between the two where we're kind of the sounding board for both. We offer constructive criticism, or tries to be constructive to both. And then we also understand the process in the sense that, unfortunately, we have to sometimes have one foot on the real world in terms of, well, you can have that extra pop, but we're not going to sell many copies because it's going to cost about £100 per book to make.
Right.
So you have your fingers in lots of different metaphorical pies, so to speak, and several different hats on. And sometimes you have to make decisions with a sales hat on, and other times you make it with a more creative, like, this is the best thing for the project in the way that it's going to sound or it's going to look.
Well, and it's also, I mean, do you have authors that don't want editing and feedback? I would imagine authors want that feedback, because otherwise it feels like you're working in a vacuum.
Yeah, I think the majority of people really do value a sounding board. I think sometimes, this don't mean this in a negative way at all, but writing a book, especially a fiction book, it can be a lonely process because it's so many thousands and thousands of words, or even non-fiction when you're researching and finding out all your facts. You know, it's you in your room with your typewriter or your laptop, you know, working out what you're going to say.
Or your quill pen, in our case.
Quill, yes, of course. This book was entirely written by quill and ink. But then you bring an editor in, and sometimes that's great because, you know, an author will say to you, like, thank you so much, I just have not been able to see the wood from the trees.
Yes.
And you've come in and you've actually explained that, you know, this is great, but actually if you lose this, you're going to save yourself an awful lot of problems. And fresh eyes, I think, can only ever benefit.
Well, an editor, I mean, in theatrical terms, an editor is the first audience.
Yes,
you know,
of course.
So to get your feedback is really valuable because we know, oh, we are on the right track, or no, that's a very good point she had. We should address that issue.
Yeah, or I guess for you not laughing here, like, was expecting a laugh, you know, that, you know, for an... Yeah, exactly.
That, you know, that's funny you say that, because thankfully I remember very few moments of, is this as funny as it could be?
No, and it's true, though, because I think it's important to have a dialogue. And, like, from my perspective, that's the bit that I enjoy the most, because it's being able to say, like, I really love this, but have you thought about doing it like this? And that saying, have you thought about it, isn't meant to be like, do it like this. It's a genuine... have you considered it? Because it might work and it might not work.
Yeah.
And the collaborative nature of the editing, the author, the design process, I love.
Well, and once we began to see the thing, last August when we were at Edinburgh Festival, we got the very first, what you guys call a dummy. But I always resist calling it that because I always think of Shakespeare for Dummies, which is a whole other thing. But so I always, in my head, I'm calling it a mock-up. But it's a very rough mock-up. That was back in August of 2016. But now, just over Christmas of 2016, we got a much more complete mock-up with full-color art and working flaps and pops
everything.
And everything. And it was really fun. And so begin to be able to see it in three dimensions really clarified and crystallized some of my thinking. I know Reed's as well, where you go, oh, we wrote that to be funny, but now it's more reductive in a bad way than funny, you know? So that was seeing it in context in the same way you see a show in front of an audience. You go, ooh, that doesn't work quite as much as we want it to work. You know, I think forced us to make a couple of changes that I think are big improvements.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know what it is about having something in front of you to visualize in your thinking. But actually, it's really interesting because if you think just from August to Christmas, the progress in the dummy mock-up and like the changes that we make, you know, and all of a sudden you start to understand why making these kinds of books does take so much time, because we've had a bit of a running joke that this has not been perhaps the speediest of processes. But
in terms of pop-up books, has it been speedy or has it been sort of typical?
They do take time.
They take the time they take.
For how short they are, they take a huge amount of time. And I'm sure people say this to you about your show. It's like, oh, it's short. You know, this is the whole point. Surely it's easy to do.
Surely it's easy. No, it really took about...
harder.
It is harder. Is it the Mark Twain line? I would have written you a shorter letter, but I didn't have the time.
Yeah, that is brilliant. That is genius.
Yeah, well, and it takes us 6 to 9 months to get a show up and really ready for the public. And part of that process is doing what we call workshop performances, where the production and then the script are still works in progress. It's a little bit like taking these dummy mock-ups and showing them to the public. But we're the public in this case, you know, our families and your families, etc.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this final stage, as we were saying. It's quite good, like when you know all the big decisions have been made and you can really take the time to sit back and be like, okay, I want to make sure this is all consistent throughout and everything's working just the way I want it to.
And we can be very picky.
Picky is good. I like picky at this stage.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Pop-Up Shakespeare by Jenny Maisels and me and Reed will be published first in Australia on September 1st by Walker Books Australia, then in the UK on September 7th by Walker Books UK, and here in the US, bringing up the rear, on October 3rd by Candlewick Press. You can order it now at Amazon or your local bookshop. Send us your favorite bit of reader engagement via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all all the social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Austin Titchener. You can follow Reed, at Reed of RSC. And you can follow Jenny on both Twitter and Instagram, at Jenny Mazels. Actually, the RSC is now on Instagram, too, at Reduced Shakespeare Company. Thanks, as always, to No Editing Required, Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Brandon Judah. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Olivier Award-winning actor Adrian Scarborough, currently co-starring with David Tennant in Don Juan in Soho at the Wyndham's Theatre in London until at least June 10th, 2017. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 543 1629ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Pop-up Shakespeare is one of several, many Shakespeare books you already publish for kids. I mean, you guys have a sort of a commitment to that market, that niche.
Oh, well, he's a subject that will never, ever, ever not be covered in the classroom, but also just not be loved by everyone. And there's always an appetite for his books. And part of the fun is thinking about how you do Shakespeare in different ways. So we have Marcia Williams' fantastic comic strip retellings, which are wonderful. We've got pop-up Shakespeare. We've also got smaller pocket guides that work in 3D as well. We can reinvent Shakespeare as many times as Shakespeare reinvented language or plots as well. So, you know, the wheel will keep on turning.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.